If you're a visitor today or with family, welcome again. It's great to have you with us. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, it said that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. But then in verse 12, it says, to as many as receive him, he gave the right to become his children. So you're here, some of you are here today to celebrate Christmas Eve or Christmas Day with family. I love it that the word family is in the name of our church, Crossroads Family Church. So I'm going to go through the first 3 points pretty quick. We've had a theme every single week. And the first week of Advent on December 3rd, our theme was hope. And in Romans 15, verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace and believing. So the amazing thing about Christmas is not only that Jesus was born onto the earth, but now he's born in you. So whatever he is, if you let him, he'll live all of those things through you. So actually the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you can actually have his love, his joy, his peace, and his hope. Everything that Jesus is, the Bible says in John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, as he is, so are we in this present world. So we're supposed to, what did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. Ephesians 5, be imitators of God as little children. So, and this is not perfect terminology, but he kind of wants you to be a God with skin on. The word became flesh. God became Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, his nature, his character, his anointing, his presence. We beheld him, amen? And then in verse 16 of that chapter says, of that fullness, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Christ, and now he's in you, and you've been made complete in him, amen? So you have the fullness of God living on the inside of you. Wouldn't you think that God would want us to live at a little bit higher level than we're living? Come on, you guys, you with me here? The God that created this universe is living on the inside of you. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a temple of God, not just God in flesh 2,000 years ago, but now he said it's better, it's expedient, it's more profitable for you if I go away. Oh, no, no. Come on, if I was there, when Jesus was 30 to 33, whatever, in that age, doing all those miracles, raising the dead, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, walking on water, multiplying the bread, I'm like the other apostles saying, sorry, Jesus, you're not leaving. You're staying right here, amen? Jesus said, no, it's better that I go away. No, no, Jesus, you're messed up on this one. We want you right here, amen? But the reason he said it's better for you to go away, because that made it possible for him to send the Holy Ghost in. Now you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, not only the gift of Jesus, and be born again, and have eternal life, and be part of the greatest family that's ever existed. You can be part of the family of God. So the first point that we looked at in the first week was hope. And I know you look at me once in a while when I say things, maybe in a sermon or even during the week, you think, man, that guy's a little bit crazy. Just go with me, amen? Amen? Just lend me a little bit of your hope because I'm filled with hope. You know, I'll make statements like that this place is going to be full and it's going to be full twice and all that, and you're like, yeah, right. No, you didn't say that, did you? All right, good. All right? The God of hope will fill you with joy and peace as you believe the promises of God. Amen? Amen? In Romans chapter 4, Abraham's 75 years old when he first gets the promise. At age 99, he still has not received the promise. God knew that he needed a little boost. He said, look up into the stars, and as numerous as the stars in heaven, that's just how many descendants you're going to have. They're going to be that numerous that you cannot count them. Amen? My promises are yes and amen. And he gave that hope for 4,000 years that the Messiah was coming. But it began actually with Abraham walking in covenant with God, believing the promise, having hope against hope, so that he didn't consider his own body as good as dead to whatever, because he was past the age of having kids. He didn't consider that. In hope against hope, he believed the promises of God, and that's what we're going to do for this church. All of God's promises apply to Crossroads Family Church. They're all yes and amen. So lend me your hope. Join your hope to my hope, and let's believe God for some absolutely amazing things. Amen? My brother shared with me, I one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Jeremiah 29, 11. We all quote it, but we forget the first part of that chapter. Everybody, you guys quote it with me. The plans that I have for you are a future and a hope, and not for calamity, evil, harm, or destruction. Amen? and I already knew this, but my brother just preaches to me every time I'm with him. Who is that written to? That was written to Israel when they were about to go into slavery and captivity. Hello, if I'm standing before you and you're about ready to get locked up for 25 years, and I'm saying my plans for you in the midst of captivity and slavery and bondage, which you're going to be in slavery during this time, my plans in the midst of you is to give you a future and a home, to bless you and give you great prosperity in the midst of all that. Amen? So with God, your hope is not based upon the circumstances around you. Your hope is based upon Jesus, who is the God of all hope that lives on the inside of you. Point number two we talked about was preparation. The verse that we looked at, and hopefully you've read several times since then, is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. And if we're going to do something great, you can't just talk about it. You got to do something, amen, because faith without works is dead. So in that analogy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, it compared the Christian walk to three people that were working very, very hard to receive a prize. It had the athlete, the soldier, and the farmer, and it compared it to the Christian. And so if any of those are going to excel and be successful and blessed, and you're going to have a blessed life, you have to follow what an athlete would do. It was talking about terms of preparing for the Olympics. You know, if you're preparing for Olympics, and if you read, you know, on the internet or what they went through with that decathlon and the Olympics and the grueling thing that they went to do, you don't do that without preparing. In Siren, and I never signed up for this and never will, but there was a good number of people that ran marathons or half marathons or 5Ks. I would sign up for the 200-yarder and hope I made it. Amen? I'm sorry. But you know what? Those guys didn't just go up to Grandma's Marathon or the Twin Cities or wherever they went. They went to several different ones. They didn't show up, you know, decide to run the week before and think that they were going to run a marathon. And it's the same way with you and your Christian walk. The Christian walk is not a 100-yard dash, even though we have a lot of 100-yard dashes. I think we've had about six 100-yard dashes since I've been here with a special service like the Harvest Festival or the installation or the day that I candidated or the Christmas program or the cantata last week. We've, had some absolutely amazing services in the presence of God, but those don't keep you going the whole way, amen? You got to have preparation like an athlete, a soldier, a farmer. And in that verse, in that context, I think it was talking about the soldier in this one. It says he does not entangle himself in civilian affairs. Now, you have to live your life. You need to be a dad or a grandpa or a spouse or all your responsibilities. But what he was saying in that verse, the most important thing in life is the kingdom of God and the will of God for your life. Amen? He wasn't saying don't do your responsibilities, but he said a good soldier does not entangle himself in civilian affairs. So the most important matters in your life are the things of God and the kingdom of God and the will of God. And in order for us to experience not just a visitation of amazing services, but I want to be a habitation of God. And my whole life I've actually been preparing for that. John chapter 17, and I learned this verse as a teenager. It says in John 17, Jesus said, the glory, my character, my nature, my anointing. Jesus said, Father, that glory that you gave to me, now I give to you. So every one of you can walk in that glory. But if you don't grow and mature in your Christian walk, you remain as a slave and a child. Galatians 4:1 says, I should take a breath, huh? An heir, as long as he remains as a child, you're an heir. You're an heir of the Father, and you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're supposed to walk just like Jesus walked. You're supposed to be doing the same works that he did, and even greater, amen? As he is, so are you to be even now. That's what 1 John chapter 4 says. But if you remain as a child and don't mature in your Christian walk, you're no different than a slave or a servant, even though you're entitled to the whole works, amen? And you are entitled to the whole thing, because Romans chapter 8 says you're an heir of the Father and you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So if you're a joint heir with Jesus, whatever Jesus was entitled to, you're entitled to, amen? Now, we're not getting our full glory and full redemption until Christ comes back. Don't take me wrong with that. But Jesus said in John 17, the high priestly prayer before he left this earth, right before that, he said, Father, the glory Your presence that you gave me, I now give to you. You guys should be, you should be pretending you're at a Packer game and they just won the Super Bowl and you're celebrating, amen? Okay, just picture when Aaron Rodgers, whatever, a few years back, they won the Super Bowl and they had the parade going down Green Bay. Just picture that. This is way better. Or when, did I say Brett Favre on that one? Or Aaron Rodgers when he won his Super Bowl and in Green Bay they had the big parade. Do you think everybody was just sitting there like we are right now? Oh, wow. Great job, Green Bay. Boy, Aaron Rodgers, you did a good job. Hey, no, don't be doing that. All right. But we had to celebrate, amen, the birth of our king, because now the king is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said, some of you are not going to taste death. And so you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And he has come with the king of the kingdom is inside of you. And you can walk in the privileges of the kingdom, but you have to prepare for it. You're going to hear me share this story a lot of times. And when I say I'm only going to preach short, that doesn't always mean short, does it? Amen? Just shorter. I'm sorry. Pete, I'm getting wound up here. I'm sorry about that. There's a lady, and you'll hear me share this story over and over, was preparing to die. She was in her late 80s, okay? The pastor came to her house and said, talking over the wishes of the service, and she said, I want to be buried with a fork in my hand. Never heard of anybody wanting to be buried with a fork, man. Tell me why you want to be buried with a fork in your hand. She says, you know what? And we have a lot of meals here. It's awesome. I love it. But they said, you know, when they come around and maybe sometimes collect your plates, they say, keep your fork. And what they mean by that is something really good is coming. That's pie and ice cream and all those great desserts afterwards. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. But what I want them to do to see me at the visitation, even at the funeral, right before the funeral, I want them to see a fork in my hand, and everyone's going to ask, what the hotel or whatever, what is going on with a fork in the hand? And I want you to explain that as great as this life is, we're preparing for something else. This is not our home. We love our home, amen? We love life. We're loving Jesus. Are you guys with me? You should shout amen to that too. That's how you live your life. You're loving life and you're loving Jesus. Amen. That's how you live your life. But also, this is not our home. We're preparing for something greater. Point number three, we talked about repentance and redemption. That's part of preparation. If we don't allow God to change our heart, change our mind, and develop and grow and continue to be like Jesus, we won't be able to walk in all that. And that's part of our redemption. Part of your redemption is that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. But you know what? Most Christians are not living as joint heirs with Jesus. Most Christians are living way, way, way below their entitled rights or their privileges of who you are. You are a child of the King. And we want to walk in that redemption. Just picture, well, I think this came out in what, the 70s, that miniseries, The Roots. Do you remember watching that? Do you ever watch, you remember some of the slaves that were auctioned? Just picture this. A beautiful, really beautiful girl, 16-year-old girl, is about to be auctioned. And some of the guys and people are coming eyeing her up, and they're grabbing her and just not doing appropriate things. And, you know, everybody knows in their minds what's going to take place after this person is bought as a slave. But the first bid that goes up for this lady is a bid that is double what anybody had heard in all of the bidding and auction that whole entire day, or actually even that whole entire month of all the auctions that went on. Nobody had even bid half the price that this guy offered, and he offered double the price. Well, the auction was immediately, you know, whatever, closed and was sold. And in her mind, she was picturing what this guy was going to do to her and the horrible, rotten life that she was going to have. She spit in his face and she reacted because in her mind she imagined all kinds of absolutely horrible things for the rest of her life. He said really nicely and kindly. He didn't do anything when she spit in his face. And just walked over to the place where he had to sign the papers. And he said, these papers are your freedom. These are your documentations that you are no longer a slave. Nobody has the right to ever, ever, ever mistreat you ever again. I give you your freedom. And that's what Jesus did for you. You were bound to sin. You were bound to hell. You were bound to the grave. You were bound to the flesh. You were bound to this world. You were bound to just horrible life of eternity in hell, separated from God now in eternity. But Jesus went and paid the price so you could be his son. Amen? Amen? Point number, you can clap on that. Come on. If you turn in your Bibles, and we're going to go through these quickly, but I'm going to go through four verses in just talking about rejoicing. That's what Peter's going to talk, and I'm going to wrap it up really soon. But in Acts chapter 16, at the midnight hour, after Paul and Silas were beaten, chained up, thrown in a horrible, rotten prison, dungeon cell, verse 25, they are praying and singing psalms and worshiping God. Amen. The theme for this week, the fourth week of Advent, is that we will rejoice. And the result of Acts chapter 16, of their praise, their rejoicing. And you know what? You ought to rejoice every moment of every day. Because in 1 Thessalonians it says, rejoice in the Lord, pray without ceasing, worship without ceasing. You should be rejoicing all day long, every day, celebrating the birth of Jesus in your life. Amen? So, in the next verse, in 26, the prison's house were shaken, the doors were opened, everybody's chains were broken. You know what? The chains off your life are broken. You don't have to live with fear, hate, anger, judgment. You don't have to live with despair. You don't have to live with rejection. You don't have to live with all of the bad stuff, because Jesus redeemed you from all of it. He bore your griefs, sorrows, pain, sickness, disease, every bad, rotten, evil thing that came on man from sin and the devil. Jesus became a curse to redeem you from all of it. Amen? And we want to live as free men. Amen? Because we are redeemed. And if you rejoice in it, actually you release that in your life. That's why you ought to celebrate it every day, because it's according to your faith it's going to be done to you. When you celebrate it, you're activating your hope and your faith. You're doing this in remembrance of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago for you, and you release that. Your faith releases everything that you can have in Christ Jesus. Luke chapter 2. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby in verse 12, wrapped in clothes, lying in manger. Suddenly there appeared an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men in whom he's pleased. Amen? There's some angels rejoicing that day. How about we just rejoice with God every single day of our lives? Amen? Last verse is Philippians 4, if you want to turn there. Philippians chapter 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then what did he say? Again, I say rejoice. So if he's saying it twice, maybe it should be something important. Amen? I hope, and you won't see this all of the time, but hopefully this is my goal, that every time you see me, that you can see that I'm rejoicing in Christ my Savior. The very light in my eyes, I pray that it radiates the presence of the Lord. I pray that you see it in my smile. I pray that you see it in my heart. I pray that you would see it on how I treat people. Amen? That we can celebrate the birth and resurrection. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4, and people probably preach on this, but Paul was in bondage, in difficulty, and he said, I don't care what's going on around me. I'm independent of that. That doesn't determine whether I'm happy or joyful or celebrating the birth of Jesus. I am independent of that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He supplies all my needs according to riches and glory. I'm independent of what's going around me because I'm in Christ. Christ is in me, and I have hope, joy, and peace because of Jesus. And I celebrate it not only this Christmas, but I celebrate it the rest of my life. Amen? Let's welcome my brother as he comes and shares, continues to share the word with us. Do you have a mic, Peter? Peter?